Welcome to another installment of my series of shorter conversations called Northern Soundbites. I'm Robert Hannon. We often think of first responders as police, firefighters, and healthcare providers. But often, those facing serious illness look for spiritual solace and guidance. I asked Reverend Dr. Nancy James, chaplain at Fairbanks Memorial Hospital, how her work has changed in the pandemic.
Something happened at the hospital where a man, a staff member, worked here. He worked for the Ebola crisis in the lower 48. And when this all started, I was at some meeting and he said, I want to let you all know you're going to see heroism. You give people a chance and they will become heroes. And I wasn't sure if it was true or not, but I have surely seen that here. It's been an amazing thing to witness. The doctors are sacrificing, they're researching, they're reaching out to colleagues all over the world. The nurses are putting on this protective gear and heading into dangerous, dangerous situations. And the Catholic Diocese of Fairbanks is contacting me all the time. They have a priest, Father Robert, ready, willing, and able to put the gear on and go into isolation rooms. I mean, it's almost just a beautiful perspective I'm getting on human nature right now. And all the differences have been swept aside. All the different communities, the political views, everything like that has just been pushed aside. And I have never seen such cooperation and unity. It's just been a beautiful thing.
Being with a person is critical as a chaplain. How are you handling that in this time of social isolation, gowns and masks and ventilators?
Well, you can't even walk in the hospital now without a mask on, which I think is a good thing. And then for the more serious patients with the virus, with COVID-19, they are frequently in isolation rooms, and the staff puts on a lot of protective gear. So like yesterday, I got my iPad and my Zoom account. And the problem is that even if you put the protective gear on, that's almost more isolating for the patient because you look like an astronaut. So I think actually the iPad and the face-to-face stuff is working quite well.
Can you talk me through how that works, Nancy?
Yeah, the patient's given an iPad and you have an iPad out and I can go to my office to take my mask off and talk. And I think that's the most successful thing to do because the patients themselves are very sacrificial, which is another amazing thing I've witnessed. I've seen patients of all illnesses, and these are not just patients with the virus anymore because all patients are at risk, of course. All people are at risk, and they don't want to infect anybody besides not getting it themselves. You know, it's been an amazing cooperation among everybody to make this work, and everybody is very reasonable about technology and the use of it. I get on the elevator with somebody. I have a question about something. I give it to them. I get an answer within 5 minutes. You know, it's just people want to cooperate and people want to extend life right now. It's given me a whole different take on human nature. Human beings have such beauty within them and it just is all coming out.
I know touch can be important, holding the hand or patting the shoulder or just giving some physical confirmation. Of course, as you describe it, that's not possible. But are there verbal ways that you're finding to reaching out to make that connection with patients, even across like an iPad?
Well, yesterday I was in a patient who was dying of cancer, a different disease, obviously. But like I said, everybody is at risk now. And I saw the nurse practitioner come in all geared up and touch the patient. She had gloves on, but she surely kept the touch alive. And I was so impressed by it. And then she follows all the procedures so that the gloves come off and she's safe. But touch is not disappeared here. The Catholic priest, Father Robert, came in about a week ago for a patient who was very, very ill. And he did the anointing of the sick and used a Q-tip, which I thought was totally appropriate. Mm. So touch is still going on. And somehow, with all the levels of protecting the person, it's touch. You know, that's been another part of the human nature that's been quite beautiful for me to witness. People realize it's touch, even if it's using all these tools and instruments. Yeah, human psyche is adjusting. You can watch it adjusting and understanding touch even when it's so different.
I know so many people have trouble with the idea of God or maybe don't believe in God. How does a chaplain serve them in the hospital?
If people people don't believe in God, that is not for me to judge. I mean, we're all given faith to a certain amount, but they have a human heart, and they have love, and they care, and they have great values. And I just look for their values and their love and always find it, always find it. Some of the most concerned and marvelous people I'm working with right now don't believe in God. And yet our human heart is an amazingly powerful source of energy and knowledge. And we are so dependent on all of our human hearts working together to extend life now. And I just see that happening constantly here.
I think finally, you're one of the nation's top scholars and translators of the 17th century French mystic, Madame Guyon. And I know her times were tumultuous, as her personal life was. Is there anything in her that you find inspirational that you would share with other peoples in this time of stress?
Well, yes. You know, I have been very much influenced by Madame Guyon and her thinking. And she, you know, suffered for about 10 years under unfair incarceration and finally exonerated. But she has an idea. I actually have a quote here. She has an idea that has stuck with me, and I'll just read it if you don't mind. She writes as a prayer to God. And she goes, "My God, with passionate and overflowing love, you created me. Whatever you give to me in this life, even trials and sorrows, they become sweet. And when I cried out, love responded and surrounded me, smiling upon my tear-stained face. No more strife exists between us. We live like an eternal bridegroom and bride. And yet I cry, finish what you, divine love, have begun. Live and love in my soul that you have won. Who is as worthy as you? I can only gaze in silence, moving in realms of wonder and praise." And it has really stayed with me that when God is in our hearts, that everything can become sweet, that God equalizes all situations, and that he is so present. One patient I talked to this week, very sick patient, said to me, "God has just been walking with me and moving with me and living with me. He's living in a room without much human contact." And just such a beautiful witness he gave me about his own experience. And I'm just seeing that over and over and over again in the last few weeks.
Well, Reverend Dr. Nancy James, chaplain at Fairbanks Memorial Hospital, thank you so much for talking with me.
Thank you. It's been a joy being able to share during this difficult time.